Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to get into what I'm talking about a little bit tonight. I'm going to speak a little bit tonight on a topic that I think each of us have faced in life and each of us deal with. It's an emotion. When emotion goes unchecked, it can cause trouble. Now just think about that statement. An emotion that has gone unchecked can cause trouble. And you can fill in the blank for what the emotion is, but as we're approaching Halloween a week from tomorrow, and I'll call it what it's called in our culture, I go into stores and I tend to see a lot of these creatures. And I don't know what you think about them when you see them, but I mean, they've got them and some of them are blowed up by air. You know, these air machines are, and they have air and their arms are waving. One of them I saw the other day, their tongue was sticking out, big old teeth. And it wasn't a dinosaur you were looking at. All I could think of was a demon. And I've just seen it more than I've ever seen it. Now, I just want to go on record for just real quick and say, we did go down to Pumpkin Nights at Silver Dollar City. And I appreciated that they didn't have a bunch of demons down there. So I know that they're still Christian-based, owned and operated, and we're grateful for that. So that's not everywhere. But there are an element of this that I'm seeing, and maybe I'm just more aware of it, but it seems like I'm seeing it more than I've ever seen it before. And we're in a society that's, in a lot of ways, glorifying something that our emotions should run us away from, but we're teaching our young people to run towards it. And so I'm going to get in a little more specific in this area next week, but tonight I just thought I'd title what I want to speak about, Are You Scared? I mean, when you walk in these stores, are you scared? And should I be? That's a good question for the Christian. I was just mentioning what my title was to Wade earlier, and Wade was saying what I thought earlier. In this part of the country, you say, are you scared? You scared? Scared? I don't know. It's just kind of. Let me ask it like this. Are we drawing pleasure as Christians from an emotion that we should be rejecting? And I can't get it off of my mind here. Here a couple weeks ago, and I'm just going to talk a little bit tonight. I've got some notes that I'm going to refer to, but here a couple weeks ago, as we approach this holiday that we are now major glorifying, which as a Christian, we should be excited about the harvest because the Bible speaks of seed time and harvest. And so I just want to kind of, as Christian people, I want to offer an alternative to what the world's celebrating, and let's make something God out of it. Let's make something, I mean, not make something, there is something God out of this season. And so I don't want, it seems like we keep turning everything away from what the Bible is. And I was on Facebook, go figure. That's just one of my favorite things to do. I don't know about any of you, but I like to watch what's going on in people's lives. And there's a lot of buying and selling on that's fun for me. So I go on there and I look at what's for sale and I sell a few things. And so being on this website is always fun. But somehow I think my phone listens to what I have to say. Because we'll be talking about something, and the next thing you know, there's an ad up about what I just talked about. And I'm like, that's really frustrating. And then I think, no, I kind of like it because I like them knowing what I want to buy. So put that up there. Well, here's what we were, I was talking about how sometimes it's pretty funny when you watch somebody get scared. Don't be acting all self-righteous. Come on. Have you ever hidden behind something and jumped out and wah? And they're like, ah! And so this thing that came on Facebook, I'd been talking about getting scared. And so I was looking online because this was one of the things we did a lot growing up. And I love to do it to my stepdad. I mean, we did it to Andy all the time. And he's a former Marine. And so when you scared Andy, you better be ducking at the same time because scaring him comes with a fist at you to say, I don't know if you ever, Well, if you've not met Bert, let me introduce you to Bert. He's got some of the same tendencies. I love your face right now. Anyway, so that's that kind of just, and you, even if you don't mean to scare them, but they get scared and they turn real quick and they're, anyway, that's really kind of funny sometimes to the person that scared them. But I've yet to find anybody who just says, that's so much fun, scare me again. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, and so I have been talking about that. Well, I had this thing pop up on my phone, an ad about how we ought to stop, and maybe you've seen it, but how it would be so neat if we could just get a picture at the moment someone was terrified. And I watched this, and I mean, it was funny because I'm looking at these pictures, and they're like, every face is different. One of them's like, and there's another one going, I mean, there's all of these ones like body actions and everything, and I'm watching this going, this is very humorous for me. I'm drawing pleasure from their fear. I thought, is this right? I thought, yeah, it is. It's pretty funny. But then I started thinking, not one of these people that are making those faces are thinking how wonderful that was. But yet we're going to pay to go to a haunted house. We're going to watch a movie that we can't go to sleep after we watch it. See, we're in a society where we have now found a way to get people to pay to experience an emotion, and they're drawn to an emotion that we should be going, that emotion wasn't designed for a fun or a drawing. I don't know if you're hearing me. I want to have the right approach without sitting here and throwing something, because I still want to scare people every once in a while. But the person who's getting scared, I don't want to be drawing pleasure from an emotion. And is it okay to get pleasure from an emotion? Sure. There's some pleasure based on emotions that we get pleasure from. But what about fear? One of the most scared times of my whole life. I can't get this one out of my head because nobody saw me. There was no cameras. But I was walking through the woods, and as a hunter, I really, really think it's important that you try to be quiet when you're walking to your stand. And so I'm walking to the stand, and I mean, I used to think tiptoeing was good, but it's not. Tiptoeing makes more noise. You got to roll your heel, or you got to hit, and then if something starts to hit, you stop. Then you back up and you find a new spot. And so, I mean, I'm talking about care walking to my stand. I didn't have my light on. There was no need for a light because I kind of knew the direction. But it was dark now. And so I'm walking, and I can every once in a while kind of make out a tree, but I'm walking so slow, if I bump into something, it wasn't a big deal because I'm being careful. And so no light, pitch black dark, and I'm walking with my talented rolling of the foot. I didn't step on a branch, a tree. I didn't step on nothing. I'm still quiet. And I stopped because I just heard this. And I'm like, what was that? And my heart kind of goes a little faster. And then I start my breathing technique so that they can't hear me breathing. And I start walking again. And I take not more than a step or two. My heart beats back down. And then all of a sudden, it's like a windstorm hit in the trees above me, like that. And it's like, whoa! And I'm like, ah! And I'd hit the ground. I literally screamed. And I jumped on the ground, and I said, oh, God! Y'all are drawing pleasure from my... I'm talking about, oh, I yelled for God's help. And then after my heart started beating again, I was giving myself, you know, like, God help me. I'm starting my breathing technique again. And then I walked onto my stand, and I hit every branch, and I had my light on the rest of the way. I ain't doing that no more. What had happened was a bunch of turkeys had been roosted right above me, and they all somehow recognized me in my quietness, and I freaked them out. And I scared them, and they just thought, oh, the Al-Ru will return the favor. And they scared me. And I mean, terrified. It's one of the worst moments of my whole life. I wasn't sitting there going, let's go do that again. I was like, I now don't look at the ground near as much as I look at the trees when I'm walking through the woods. I'm paying attention now. Fear is a big deal, and I don't want to get okay with it. See, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to have it as a an understanding, recognize the benefit of it. Some things to know about fear. It's a belief that something that hasn't happened is going to happen based on either real or imagined circumstances. I don't know what I was thinking was going to happen when I heard that, but I hit the ground like something was going to. I didn't know if it was a tornado and I was going to get sucked. I mean, nothing went through my mind except for I'm dead. And why would I think that? That's not a thought God wants to put in you. And so for you to have that response, I couldn't help but think, you know what, I need to talk about this a little bit to our church, because we're getting ready to come up on a time that our world really, really is gearing people towards getting scared and the pleasure of it. Now, I'm not telling you exactly how to communicate this. I want to talk about what the Word says so that we can have a biblical response. And I want to make sure as we're looking at this that I'm not trying to get, in a sense, legalistic about it. I just want to get correct teaching into our kids, our young people, not to put them down, but to counter what the world is okaying and the Bible is saying no. So we've got to have the right understanding about this. And so I don't know if any of you have ever, I mean, can you think of moments you just really got scared? Was it funny? When you really scared, was it funny? Was it to somebody else? Yeah. I just told you my worst story in my whole life and y'all laughed. It's terrible. So this thing is something that I think we all think. My wife can send me pretty close to the turkeys. The fear the turkeys sent me. Anyway, she'll do this. Let me see if I can get it. What? Does anybody take a sharp intake of breath? And it's like, what are you doing? I don't just turn and go, that was real nice. I don't turn and make fun of her. I don't fly down like I'm going to get attacked and scream and, oh, God help me. But she gets my attention like that. That sharp intake of breath is like, there's something that we need to be concerned about right now. Women, watch that for your husbands. That was free. I got to go. Fear. Everybody understands fear. What about fret and worry? What are those? Are those, I mean, psychologically speaking, here's what they are. They're byproducts of the reaction of fear. See, they're a reaction that we have to fear. Now, there are certain reactions to fear that are necessary. There is an understanding biblically that you're to have a fear of God. There's a necessary understanding of the fear of God, and I'm not talking about that today. There's a necessary reaction to fear that will remove you from the presence of a copperhead, or should. Should. My stepdad don't seem to be bothered by them, but there are things that we need to react based on fear, but when fear produces fret and worry. Come on, hear me today. When it's producing fret and worry, well, how could that happen? Well, your honey-do list that you didn't do? Fret and worry about going home. Fret and worry about even it being brought up. Fret and worry maybe about taxes because you know what you've been doing this year. Fret and worry about or not been doing. Fret and worry about bills. Fret and worry about job, family time, house chores. Someone coming over. Oh, someone's coming over to the house. Oh, no. Oh, no. And you fret and worry about that. Sometimes it starts out, a fear moves us in a direction that's healthy. See, it's healthy not to get bit by a poisonous snake. So fear would move us in the right direction. And so those three dimensions of fear, a practical, protective, defensive fear, like of an animal or something that you need to stay away from, is good. I'll never forget that we needed to teach our young people years ago when the church started, we would build a fire and a stove up there, and we had to teach the young people, please do not go near the stove. I remember Travis Leonard telling me at that time, he said, they'll only do it once. And then they'll have a fear, a healthy fear of that stove. He was being funny. But at this, I understand there, as we've experienced things or we have an understanding of what we might experience, we can recognize that there's a practical, protective, defensive fear that we should have. Everybody agree with that? So that's the emotion that God removes us from. The other thing is a fear of God, and we talked about that just basically in the sense that the Bible talks about fearing God. And I want to make sure that I don't just leave that one to say that that's not something that as Christians we need to have a healthy understanding, a respect, and an awe. And I think we've lost a bit of what we need to have there as far as God's concerned. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about tonight is an enslaving type of fear that produces worry and fear as its byproduct. And so as I'm talking about that tonight, worrying overboard, where are you going? What are you going to do? See, when you go watch a movie, and then after the movie you can't go to sleep because you're scared, you're not going to sleep because you have worry and fear. Not worry, we're worry and fret. See, the byproduct of fear. Yet that fear produced something that I believe is unhealthy. And my concern is that as we're coming up on this time that the world is celebrating fear in an unhealthy way, it's producing unhealthy responses in our people. And we're living in fear and worry, and we're not setting up defense and protection around our lives. Parents, we got a responsibility here. Don't put your kids into a position where they live all the time in fret and worry. We've got enough Christian adults living in this, and they need to address it. There is a difference between fear, and there's a difference between a healthy fear or a practical fear, and there is a difference between that and the production of worry from an unhealthy fear. Worry and fret is purely negative because it's drawn from the negative aspects of fear and inhibits the action response. This is a psychology deal I want you to see. Fret and worry don't move you to action. It disables you. So if you're worried about something, if you're fretting about something, and sometimes we just label the word wrong, I get this. But I don't want to get to a place that fear causes me to not be reactive. Fear ought to move me the right direction. And if it's moving me to worry and fret, it's moved me wrong. And pretty much, that's what I want you to get tonight. Worry torments. It torments. It doesn't produce. It doesn't allow you to stay on what you need to stay on. It removes your mind from where it needs to be. Or let me say it like this. It keeps your mind where it doesn't need to be. See, you're needing to sleep, but you're worrying and fretting. Is that producing for you? I mean, I know that there have been moments in my life, not after just watching a movie that I shouldn't have been watching that produced scary thoughts, but after I have allowed something that I was kind of fearful of and I couldn't get it off my brain, and then I stayed up way longer than I needed to because I couldn't go to sleep. My mind going 100 and just worry and fret and worry and fret. And it doesn't produce. And so you got to ask yourself, is this producing? No, because it doesn't move you to the right action. It moves you to an action that disables you. It blocks your spiritual growth, and it causes you not to grow in a relationship with God. When my doubts that God is going to provide for me, when my doubts are that I'm not able to be in his presence, when my doubts are the protection of my life, See, you doubt that kind of thing. You've got to know you're dealing with a byproduct of fear that's unhealthy. This is really, I'm trying to explain it in a way that's very practical, but it's a big issue in the lives of Christian. And it's disabling God's people. And it's tearing up homes. Some fears we escalate into worry and then they consume us. Financially, you're not making it. Relationships, I don't know where we're going to be. Even false fears. I'm imagining things that I don't know if will ever happen or not, but I can't go to sleep because of it, or I can't get my mind off of it. And then that fret and worry consumes who you are. Fear of change, fear of things, something unknown. All these things can move us unhealthy. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And as you're reading this with me tonight, Matthew chapter 26 is a great opportunity for you to look at what the Bible says about the byproduct of worry and what it can produce in your life, or what it says not to do and how we can get around not doing it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus is speaking. This is all letters in red. It says, "That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Now here's his response to this in verse 26. He says, let's look at the birds here. Look at the birds. "They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" What he's saying here is, no, they can't. Can they? No, they can't. See, verse 28, "So why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he'll certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers." And let me say this again. Don't worry about the things, about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. Can I just take a little side road for just a second? I don't have anything to wear. That sounds like a worried statement. But here's what, not just wear, but what will we drink, what will we eat. It says these thoughts dominate the thoughts of people who don't know me, people who don't know God. I was thinking in my mind when I was reading this, next time my wife says, "Don't have anything to wear," wouldn't it be nice just to say, "But you're a Christian. Don't say that. You're a Christian." That's a thought that an unbeliever has. Don't have that thought. But I'm not going to do that. I just said that publicly so I could throw it out there. Don't anybody else do it either. You'll get you in trouble. Anyway, your heavenly Father knows your needs. Verse 33. And I quote this scripture all the time. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things are what? They're added to you." I often don't put this in context, but this is right in the middle of, let me give you some clues as how to get worry out of your life. Seek first God. Seek first God. Seek first God and be in the right place with him. I have yet to be in a place that I was looking at fear as fun and was able to seek God at the same place. I don't ever see, I mean, I've not been since I was real young and ignorant, but in some of these haunted houses, nobody walks in the entrance and goes, "God, thank you for such a great time tonight. We're going to have a ball." Why? Because I don't think that they're producing a God thought when you're walking in there. And as a Christian, as I'm walking in some of these places and seeing them glorifying demonic activity, it frustrates me. And I don't think it's per se their heart. I just think the Christians haven't taken a place to where we understand that that's not what we're to produce as fun. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live right standing, and then he'll give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble's enough for today. Come on now. Today's trouble's enough for today. Today's enough for today. And I mean, there's enough things going on today that need your attention without you not being able to sleep tonight about tomorrow. There's enough things today. Verse 25, let's break this down for just a second here. There's some really good stuff here. Jesus tells us not to worry about the needs God promises to supply. If we worry about those needs, it causes a lot of problems. Medical doctors will tell you this. Worry damages your health. If you're living in worry, it damages your health. You worry sometimes and it consumes all your thoughts. Worry messes up your productivity at work. It messes up your time with your spouse. It messes up your walk with God. No one wants to walk in and say, hey, how's it going? Man, I'm just worried sick. Oh, well, great. Glad to see you too. See, that's not the normal conversation that you're going to have. I'm not saying that there's not times that that byproduct is there, but we got to know how to deal with it. When it comes there, we got to be able to remove it. Worry causes us to treat people wrong. Worry causes us to treat people wrong because we're consumed with what it's doing to us. Worry can lead to us not trusting in God. Sometimes we confuse, concern with worry. And I'll do this. Okay, this is just something I'm concerned about. And I'll say that because I know it's the right thing to say, but in my mind, I'm still fighting worry. I'm a little concerned about. But let's at least get our words where they need to be so that then our emotions will follow. Get our hearts where they need to be, and then what's coming out of our mouth will be right. And so a concern, the Bible says, cast all that on him. That's the concern part. And so we're not answering biblically, even when we're saying, I'm just concerned. I get concerned. But concern should move us to an action. Always ask yourself this question. Is this thought that I'm dwelling on moving me to an action, or is it moving me away from God? An action towards God or what? It's moving me in the right direction biblically, because you're a Christian. You can know that rightness. How do I know that rightness? Because I seek God first. And being right with him. Sometimes we confuse this though. Worry puts us out of commission and it causes us to react and sometimes overreact to a situation. Verse 26. I've always been amazed when he said, look at the birds. I didn't look at the birds when they flew off. Turkeys are birds and they flew off and they scared me. But they saw me first. So I'm going to look at the birds and what they do. They pay very close attention. Birds have phenomenal eyesight. I'm just telling you, they can see amazing, and they're fast. Hummingbirds. Have you ever watched hummingbirds, how fast and furious they are? I mean, they're quick. They're fighting for their food. Birds are always planning. Birds are always moving, and I've never seen one in a tree with his feet kicked up on the branch in front of him, just laying there enjoying life. I've never seen that. Every time you see a bird, if you're looking and you think he's not looking at you, then you're wrong. Because in a matter of seconds, he's either flown off or he's like, I mean, I can't even, that neck movement. How do they move their necks? They know everything going on at all times. They're fast and furious. You know, they don't ever just drop their eggs out while they're flying and go, oops, I forgot to build a nest. I don't know if you ever thought about that. I've never, ever seen that. Now, I have had them drop other things out of the sky, and I've been hit by it a couple times. And you can go look at our tractor. They drop things, but I very seldom, if ever, can tell you a time where I accidentally got hit by an egg. Mm-mm. Why? Because they take care of the nest. Boy, there's a lot to learn about birds. We got a lot of Christian people not building their nest correctly, not taking care of watching what's going on, and their feet are propped up. And the Bible says, look at the birds. See, God will take care of the birds because the birds are operating correctly. A lot of Christian people aren't. There's a lot to be said about the birds, and they're working hard all the time, and they don't ever talk about a bird dying from worry. Worrying about things of the future will mess up today's dream. Don't get yourself to a position that you quit working. Always be working and trusting in the Lord. And when you take one of those out, you've messed up. You've got to have both. As a Christian, you've got to be working for the Lord, and you've got to be trusting in Him for the results. And that's what birds do. Who can add anything, verse 27, to your life by worrying? It's the most ineffective thing you can do throughout your day is worry. It's the most ineffective thing you can do. It's not producing anything. Always know that. You never accomplish anything by it. I know I'm just a worry wart, and there's just nothing I can do about it. I'm just a worry wart. I just worry. That's just who I am. Well, you need to know how to quit that, and you might go to Matthew chapter 6 and start reading a little more. Because the Bible says right in the middle how to deal with worry, seek first Him. So instead of sitting there worrying, why don't you open your Bible? Why don't you get in your prayer closet? Why don't you get out there and serve the kingdom? There's something to do instead of sitting there worrying and worrying and worrying. Let's move that into an action that produces something more for the kingdom. These are things that I wanted to encourage you with tonight. And then in verse 28, and I'll go on and on here, but the flower lilies. Inside of a lily, and this is pretty cool, it has both male and female parts. Inside of one flower. It has both male and female parts. The male part's the bright yellow and the pollen on the head, and the female has a sticky pad that catches the male's pollen, and the female will only receive the parts of the lilies that are the male's. So inside this one flower, God protects it to produce. What's so important about that? The lily won't receive anything that's not a part of her. The lily won't receive anything. Boy, this is good. The lily won't receive anything that's not a part of her. If God is a part of your life, then you shouldn't be receiving anything that's not a part of God. And we're allowing demons to come in. And God said, oh, the lilies of the field, come on, they're beautiful. Why are they beautiful? Because they are self-contained, because God set it up that way. In our lives, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we have all that's needed to overcome the byproduct of fear, fret, and worry. And so God's not going to let something come in and allow you to take it into your life. He's not going to allow that to happen if you're going to stay in Him. Because He's got you covered, and He's going to let the other stuff get out. But you have to do your part and not take in something that's not His. You can't take in something that's not His. And so we're taking in fear that wasn't Him putting it in there. So who was? That's what I'm talking about next week. Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.